on. But we've actually got this morning reading our Bible is Pastor Sam from Uganda. So the words are going to come up on the screen and you're going to hear his voice. So Tim, if you click next, it should come up.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tremble and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God bless you.
What a joy it is to hear from someone halfway across the world who likewise is praising the Lord and pastoring a church over there. If I haven't met you, my name is Heidi. I'm the Associate Minister here at Dixon Baptist Church, and it is my joy to finish off our series in the Psalms here with Psalm 150. So a few months ago, we started with Psalm 1, and we've taken a journey together here through the Psalms, looking at all different types and genres of Psalms. And today, we do reach the end, Psalm 150, which is a Psalm all about praise. So please pray with me as I thank God for the Psalms, and then as we open up this Psalm together. Father, we do thank you for the book of Psalms. We thank you for giving us a book that speaks of all the ugliness and mess of human existence, but also speaks of all the beauty and joy to be found in relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this book to give us words when we have none and to lift our hearts when they are low. And we pray today, Father, that as we come to the topic of praise, you would teach us to praise you. So we pray that you would open our hearts and minds today as we look at this part of your scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago now, when I was living in Wollongong, one of my housemates was working as a scripture teacher at one of the local high schools. And so Samar would often come home and tell me about her day. Particularly, she would share stories of things these public school kids had said or comments that they had made about Jesus and the Bible. And one day, Samar came home after teaching a lesson on heaven. She told me how she'd shared with these high school kids the good news that when we put our faith in Jesus, we will one day be part of this new creation with him. And in that new creation, there will be no more crying or mourning, no more pain or death. There'll be no more sin and nothing to separate us from God. Instead, we'll be with God, standing right in front of his throne, gazing at his glorious face, and we will spend eternity in joyful, rapturous, uninhibited praise. What a glorious picture Samar had been painting for them. But then, one of the kids put up their hand and said, "But won't worshipping God forever be kind of boring?" It's a good question, wasn't it? Won't worshipping God forever be kind of boring? Now, that comment has stuck with me for a long time because I think it captures something that many of us would also resonate with deep down, right? As Christians, you would assume that praise and worship would come naturally to us. It's kind of, you know, it's what Christians do, right? Surely as God's redeemed people, we should live and breathe his praises all the time. But that is often not how the Christian life works. Sometimes we really struggle with praise. It could be that life or the circumstances around us choke our ability to praise God. Praise in those moments feels trivial or inauthentic. It could also be that we're just not naturally praisey people. We haven't got a musical bone in our body, we can't sing, and we just really struggle to connect our emotions with music or with poetry. Or like that kid in Samar's scripture class, it could also be that sometimes we just really find praise boring. We don't enjoy it half as much as the other things in our lives. And so it's not what we find ourselves naturally drawn to. Well, we've come to the end of our series in the Psalms, and today is all about praise. Psalm 150 is a praise psalm. You could call it the praise psalm of all praise psalms. And as we spend time in this psalm today, I want us to be aware that praise is not always a given in the Christian life. Sometimes it's fitting, and sometimes it's natural, and sometimes it's full of joy. But sometimes it also feels trivial or unnatural or boring. But despite this reality, we are called to praise God, both when it feels natural and when it feels unnatural. Praise is an essential part of our prayer and worship. But even more than that, Psalm 150 tells us that praise is the end goal of all our prayer and worship. Now, the book of Psalms, it's 150 psalms, but it finishes with five psalms of praise, just five straight psalms full of praise. The climax of the psalms is an explosion of praise. And as we've seen over the last couple of months, the psalms are a mixed bag up to this point. They're a mixed bag of lament, praise, confession, thanksgiving, sorrow, and joy. But if you read the book from beginning to end, you'll see a gradual movement from lament at the beginning to praise at the end. No matter what has happened or what God's people have experienced, by the time we get to the end, we're given the sense that all of this has come and gone. The final word belongs to praise. And praise is what Psalm 150 declares with all its might. It begins and ends with the Hebrew word, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, praise the Lord. And can anyone here guess how many times the word praise appears in this psalm? Does anyone want to have a stab? Don't count them, guess. Anyone want to have a go? Oh, very close, 13. Very close, Margot. The word praise, that word hallelujah, appears 13 times in this psalm. There's only six verses. There are 13 hallelujahs. That's 13 commands or instructions to praise the Lord. Psalm 150 is a rousing call to praise. There's no restraint, no embarrassment, and it calls us, God's people, to join in with this praise. And so as we look at Psalm 150, we're going to work through its four movements: the where, why, how, and who of praise. And then we're going to explore how we can grow in ourselves an authentic response of praise, both when it feels easy and when it feels hard. So let's begin with verse 1 and the where of praise. If you have your Bibles open, keep them open in front of you, and we'll read verse 1 again. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Where should God be praised? Psalm 150's answer is everywhere. The sanctuary here that it's talking about refers to the place on earth where God's holy presence dwells. In the Old Testament, this was the physical temple in Jerusalem. But in the New Testament, this has become the spiritual temple of the church, where the very Spirit of God dwells in each of his people. Wherever God dwells with his people on earth, that is where he is to be praised. But not only on earth, God is also to be praised in his mighty heavens. Now listen to how Psalm 148 has already expressed this. Let me read the first six verses out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. God is to be praised in the heavens as much as he is on the earth. Where is God to be praised? Everywhere his presence dwells, in all that he has created. And now to verse 2 and the why of praise. Read verse 2 again. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Why should we praise God? Well, this verse gives us no specifics, just big general statements. Because remember, this psalm sits on the shoulders of all the psalms that have come before. And who do the psalms speak of? They speak of God who created the world and is supreme in power and majesty. God who acts to save his people. God who brings justice in the face of evil, but who gives mercy in the face of repentance. God who is gracious and shows kindness to those who haven't earned it. God whose perfect, faithful love endures forever. Listen to how Psalm 146 has already described this. This is verses 6 to 10. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Why should we praise God? He is the King, the Almighty, the only one in this universe worthy of the highest praise. And now to the longest section of this psalm, the how of praise. Read verses 3 to 5 again with me. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. How should God be praised? Not with silence, not with deep thought and contemplation. Psalm 150 commands us to praise God with music, song, and dance. Now, some of you will probably read these verses and be cheering right now. We need more of this kind of worship in the church, right? But some of you will probably read these verses and cringe. You can't think of anything worse than more music in church and definitely not dancing. However, we can't escape the fact that half the verses in this psalm command God's people to praise him with music. Praise can be more than music, but it's certainly not less. One of the central ways that we are to give God our praises is through music. And why do you think this might be? Was it simply just how they did it back then? Was it a cultural thing? Or is there something more to this? Well, here are two possible reasons why God might command us to give him our praises with music. Praise is not merely an intellectual exercise. Praise is emotional. It's an expression of our love and admiration. It's a cry from the heart, not from the head. God has therefore given us the perfect vehicle to express our praise with. Music captures the emotions, doesn't it? It stimulates the imagination. It has the power to move the will. God has given us music as a uniquely fitting way to express our praise to him. And secondly, God commands us to praise him with music because he himself enjoys music. Music pleases God. He is the great musician, the one who created song and dance, and who gave us the ability to compose and play along with him. The Psalms are poems set to music, and God delights when his people sing them back to him. But don't hear any of this and think that you have to be musically gifted to be able to praise God. Notice all the different types of instruments that are listed in Psalm 150. This is a picture of everyone being involved in this praise. Some of the instruments that Psalm 150 lists belonged to the temple priests, and some of them were just played by ordinary people. And everyone could grab a timbrel and have a go at dancing. This is an all-in kind of praise. Praise is not reserved for the extra holy or the extra musical. Praise is for the whole people of God. And that leads us to the last verse in our psalm, the who of praise. I read verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who should praise God? The answer is everything that has breath. The very last line in the book of Psalms calls on every creature, every created being, to give praise to its creator. This line is so brief that you can blink and miss it. But within this verse is actually a powerful reminder of who God is to us and who we are to God. And that reminder is the word breath. Go back with me for a moment to Genesis 2, verse 7, and the moment when God created the first human. Let me read that out for us. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. This breath of life at the very beginning is the same breath we are called to praise God with at the end of Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This is a reminder that God is the one who gave us life. He knelt down in the dust of the earth. He molded humanity after his very own likeness. And then in the most intimate act, he put his face to ours and he breathed life into us. This is who we are to God. We are his children, his most precious creation. And who is he to us? He is the one who birthed us. He is our Father, our Creator. Verse 6 is telling us we have a responsibility to praise God as the people he created. He gave us our breath, and so we use this breath to praise him. And that is what God desires from us above all, that we use the breath he gave us to respond to him in praise. But God does not need our praise. It's so important we understand this. God doesn't want our praise because he needs it. He's not like us in that way. God's self-worth is not dependent on whether we praise him or not. He doesn't need to be told how great he is to prop himself up. God is completely sufficient within himself. He needs nothing from us. We weren't created out of need, but out of abundance. It was out of God's abundant love that he created us simply to be the recipients of his love. And all he desires in return is that we love him back. He wants our praise because he wants our love. He made us to praise him because he made us to love him. What do you think are the two most common images the Bible uses to describe our relationship with God? I've already mentioned one of them. It's the relationship between a parent and their child, and between a husband and his wife. Both these images appear again and again across both the Old and the New Testaments of the Bible to show us that our relationship with God is built on mutual love. Not on duty, not on works, but on love. And what do you think is the most important law that God has given humanity to follow? Well, funnily enough, Jesus was asked this exact same question in chapter 22 of Matthew's Gospel. Let me read out what he was asked. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." God's greatest desire for his people is that we love him. Love for God comes in many different shapes and sizes. It requires our hearts, it requires our souls, and it requires our minds. But when it comes to praising God, we have to understand that God desires our praise because he desires our love. Praise exists because we are loved and have been invited to love in return. Psalm 150 calls us to praise the Lord because that is why we were made. When we praise God, we are responding to his love freely and authentically, with adoration and awe. We were made to praise God because we were made to love God. Psalm 150 is a rousing call to praise. It's not a complicated psalm. It simply commands us to do one thing, to praise the Lord. Therefore, the right response to Psalm 150 is to do what it asks, to praise the Lord. But as we already know, praise is not always a given in the Christian life, is it? I'm not sure how you came to church this morning. You may have been right in the mood for praise, or you may have been not in the mood for praise. Sometimes praise feels trivial or unnatural or boring. So how do we grow in ourselves an authentic response of praise, both when it feels easy and when it feels hard? We're probably not going to answer this question completely today. This sermon might begin something that you need to go away and keep praying and talking and thinking about. I could stand here and give you a list of tips and tricks and praise hacks for your week, but ultimately, praise is not a one-size-fits-all venture. Praise is how you respond to God's love and goodness towards you. And so today, I'd like to just explore two angles of how we might view the role of praise in our lives. And my prayer is that this might help you to understand and how better you should respond to God in praise, both when it feels easy and when it feels hard. So the first way we can view the role of praise in our lives is this. We praise God because we love God. Grow our love of God, and our praise will grow along with it. I'd like everyone to pause for a moment and think about something that you really love. Can you do that for me? Now, it could be a person, it could be an object, an activity, or a type of food. Think about something you really love. Bring it to mind. What do you love about it? What about this thing brings you joy? What happens in your body and in your face when you think about this thing? My hunch is that if I asked you to tell me about this thing that you love, you could talk for at least 5 minutes, okay? You could tell me about it for 5 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes, maybe even an hour. And chances are, as you told me about this thing, you would get excited. Your voice would get louder, you'd speak faster, your pulse might quicken, you'd lose track of time, lost in the world of this thing that you love. Praise is the most natural response to something we love. Give us something we love and we will sing its praises, right? Literally. In my family growing up, we had the habit of making up silly little songs all the time about things that we loved. And praising God is no different. When we love God, praise is the most natural response in the world. Praise is not only natural, but it also completes our enjoyment of God. Now listen to this quote by C.S. Lewis from his book on the Psalms. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is, to come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur, and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than for a tin can in the ditch, to hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. The Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. Praise is an invitation from God to enjoy him, to bask in his love and in his character. And so when we grow our love of God, our praise will grow along with it. This is why we can't praise just for praise's sake. Praise needs an object. Praise needs the love and character and works of God. If praising God feels boring or unnatural, then perhaps that is a sign that we've lost sight with the one we love. Perhaps it's a sign that our love for God could use some rekindling. Has your praise ceased because your love for God has withered? If we want to grow in authentic, freely given, joyful praise, then we can start by growing our love for God, by tending to our relationship with him? Do you need to schedule yourself some time with God? Could you hang out with Jesus for a day, as weird as that sounds? Could you set aside time with just you and the Lord? Enjoy being with him. Get to know a new side of him maybe you haven't seen before. Remind yourself of all his wonderful qualities and all the things you love and appreciate and adore about him. Then out of that, you can turn your heart to praise. Now, this is one way of viewing the role of praise in our lives. We praise God because we love God. Grow our love of God and our praise will grow along with it. But the second way of viewing praise is to flip these around. We love God because we praise him. Grow our praise and our love of God will grow along with it. Psalm 150 tells us 13 times to praise God. Now, there's no warm-up or prerequisites to this command. In the words of Nike, it basically just says, just do it. There is an element of truth here that if we were made to praise God, then praise can only and always be good for us. What if God has given us praise as a way for us to grow our love for him? Think for a moment about the Sabbath in the Old Testament. This was a scheduled day of rest that God gave to his people each week. But it wasn't just a day of rest from work. It was an entire day a week devoted to God, to be used in worship of him. That's one day a week set aside and scheduled for worship, in the calendar, regular as clockwork. Sabbath didn't happen when God's people felt like worshipping or when they were in the mood. The Sabbath didn't depend on how much they happened to love God that day. The Sabbath came around every week. It's almost like God prescribed his people a regular diet of worship because that is what they needed to remain close to him. When I worked as a physio, I used to prescribe people exercises all the time. We're familiar with prescribing all kinds of things for our well-being, aren't we? We prescribe exercises for strength, walking for our blood pressure, deep breathing for our stress maybe, mindfulness for our mental health. I wonder, what if we prescribed ourselves praise? Just 10, 20, 30 minutes a day. What would change in our hearts? What would that do to our mood, to our perspective on life? What effect would it have on our souls? How would it change us? Praise, perhaps more than any other form of worship, has the capacity to help us find enjoyment in God, no matter how we are feeling or what is going on around us. Praise is unique in that it forces us to take our eyes off our surroundings, off ourselves, and it makes us gaze right into the face of God. Looking inwards is not the pathway to joy. It's when we fix our eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus and our great God that we find our love for him grows and our joy along with it. Listen to the first verse of that old hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. This is what it says. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise is supposed to be the most natural thing in the world, but so often it isn't. Too often it feels unnatural. But perhaps that is when we need to reach for praise the most, because praise fixes our eyes and our hearts on God. And from there, our love and our enjoyment grows. Sometimes we'll find we love God because we praise him. As we grow our praise, our love of God will grow along with it. Or other times we'll find we praise God because we love him. As we grow our love of God, our praise will grow along with it. But my brothers and sisters, in the words of James, let's not merely be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. Let's not just talk about praise today and tease apart all its different aspects. Let's praise God together. God has made us for praise. He has given us breath, all of us breath, that we can use to sing our praises to him. And today, Psalm 150 calls us to give God our free, true, and loving praise. So let's praise the Lord together. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing together. And may our love of God move us to praise him, and may our praise move us to love God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Please pray with me. Father, we come before you this morning, perhaps ready to lift our praises to you in love and adoration, but perhaps we come weary of heart and soul, and like praise feels beyond us. But would you help us, Father, to lift our eyes to you, to bring our true and honest praise to you, to fix our eyes on your goodness and your love and your grace. Father, would you give us a clearer sense of who your Son is and what he has done for us this morning. And Father, we do praise you. We adore you, even when sometimes that feels far beyond us. So would you help us this morning, Father, to lift our praises to you. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.